Romans chapter 12. I would ask your ahead of time your forgiveness and your patience with me, because for several years I have been preaching in the Russian language, and so I'm not used to speaking English. So if I stutter, it's because I know the Russian word and I forget the English. So please have patience with me. Here we're going to start here in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read two verses here. This is going to be our main place. Let us start in chapter 1, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, for this time and for everyone who came out tonight. Lord, may your Holy Spirit have free course among us, Lord, that we might not grieve the Holy Spirit, but our hearts might be ready and prepared to hear from you, that men might not look upon me, Lord, for I am nothing, Lord, but you are everything. Father, that men might see you, Lord, and see from your word those truths that are so important here. Give me wisdom and understanding, Lord, that I might preach with power and with grace, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your love, and for your goodness, Lord. Thank you. Say these things in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am much like my dad, and I have a spirit of power, so please again have grace with me, for I have been serving in Iskatim for 2 years, preaching, and truly the Russian people have a cold heart, and many times we have to be very firm and speak very hard words. So please have grace with me, and I'll try to speak with grace and with grace and patience. So here we're reading, this is our main context, Romans chapter 12. We start here in verse chapter 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. That word therefore is very important. It's very similar to where you read in the Bible, wherefore, therefore. It's basically so that, basically being, it's talking about, it's pointing back to what was previously said. If you read chapter 11, you read there, basically, Paul is having to deal with the pride of men, mainly dealing with Gentiles, who are saying that God has cast off his people, Israel, and that they're no longer his. We run into that problem in Russia all the time. Because in Russia, people count themselves as God's chosen people, which in reality, they're in the history of man, and for eternity, there will only be one chosen people in this world, and that is God's people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. We, as children of God, born again in Jesus Christ, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs with the Jews. But in chapter 11 here, Paul says that we were branches off of a wild olive tree, engrafted into the pure olive tree. We were not naturally in a part of the Jews, the heritage of the Jews. If you're not Jew, then you weren't a part of them. But because of Jesus Christ, he came not just for the Hebrews. It was interesting. When we look in the prophecies in the Old Testament, majority of the prophecies about Jesus Christ is not towards the Hebrews. The majority of it is towards the whole world. So that proves, that shows that Jesus Christ came first to the Jews. But his goal was to save all men. We are naturally not of the pure olive tree. Sorry, give me one moment, because I could preach for a long time, so I want to set a timer here. We're not naturally of the olive tree, the natural olive tree. We are from a wild olive tree, and we must be careful not to say that, not to rise up in pride. So here when we begin on Romans chapter 12, you have to understand, I would suggest, when you go home, start in chapter 10. Because there you see Paul's heart for the Jews, his brethren, his people. And then we end with the gospel message. And then chapter 11, dealing with a problem of pride of the Gentiles against the Jews, which we deal with all the time. How many countries are standing for Israel? Truly. America says they are, and I don't want to say too much about against America, because I want to be very careful. But you know. No one is standing with Israel. No one. God's people. And we must be careful that we do not tie ourselves down to one country. We have that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." We must understand that our eyes must be lifted upon unto heaven, that our country is in heaven, not in this world. That we're just strangers, as Abraham was. He was just passing through. That he was seeking through us for a city, not built by man, but by God. Israel was the chosen people of God. And here, Paul was writing to who? The Romans. People in Rome, they were not Jews. Gentiles, as we are. And he's saying here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Why did he say by the mercies of God? Because if you read Romans chapter 11, let me read a couple of verses here, the last couple of verses. Chapter 33. No, let's say, chapter 11, verse 30. "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief," through the unbelief of the Jews, "even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to him to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And you can read also 1 Peter chapter 2. There you read about also that we were built upon Jesus Christ, the head cornerstone, and that we were not of the Jews, but God hath shown mercy unto us. Therefore, that's why here Paul wrote, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, for it's by the mercy and grace of God we are part of the Jews, co-laborers, co-heirs in Christ." He beseeches them, he pleads with them by the mercies of God. What does he plead? "That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Brethren, brothers and sisters, if you think it's a sacrifice to serve our King, then there's something wrong. It is no sacrifice to serve our King. He has paid all things for us. He did everything. Our life is as nothing compared to what he did and what he will do for us. It is no sacrifice to serve our King. No sacrifice. It is a reasonable service to what? To present our bodies, to give over, to render our bodies, what? A living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Why did he say a living sacrifice? Because normally, if you read the Old Testament, a sacrifice was never really given living. It was always dead. Right? Here, it's a picture that our life, we're not supposed to also just glorify God in our death, but also in our life. Because as Paul wrote, let's read in Philippians chapter 1. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes here as well, his testimony, his desire, his purpose. If you read through Philippians, I would really suggest to do a study through each book, because you find a theme in each book. Ephesians, you find who we are and who we were. Here in Philippians, you find many times the purpose heart of a Christian. Many times where Paul said, "I have purpose," or "I will glorify, I will praise God." Here we find the purpose of Paul. Here we divide, again, Russian word, divide. Let us Let us read from verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The purpose of a Christian, to glorify God not only in death, because that is easy. What's hard is to live for Christ in our life. To purposely live and glorify Him each and every day. That is hard. That is a challenge. That is why we are to present our body. It is a reasonable service. It is expected of God. And it's what we should do. To give ourselves a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. But a living sacrifice. Also, we're to present our bodies as a holy sacrifice. That we might glorify Him. Be ye holy as I am holy. We were once sinners. We were once children of the devil. We were once children of darkness. But now are we children of light. We're to glorify God and present our bodies as a holy sacrifice. Live holy as He is holy. Live purely as He is pure. Live righteously and upright as He is righteous and upright. There is no darkness at all in Him. 1 John. Chapter 1. There's only light. We're to be as children of light. Also, not only this, we're not just supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice and as a holy sacrifice, but also as an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Find out which is acceptable unto God. Just recently, when I was the last message I preached in Iscatim, I preached on what does God delight in? You know what's interesting? You find that everywhere in the Bible. I was reading through Proverbs, and I'm reading through Proverbs. There you find almost like 4 to 5 times where God says this is an abomination to Him, but He delights in. You find in Proverbs chapter 6, 7 things. These 6 things that the Lord hates. Yea, 7 is an abomination unto Him. You know what's the first thing in the list? It's not adultery. You don't find that there. It's not lying. The first thing that we think of, it's not there. What's the very first thing in the list? A proud heart. God not just hates it, but it's an abomination before Him. If you look at that word, it's a very, very strong word. It's absolute hatred, disgust. He can't stand it. A proud heart. Very first one. And there's many others. There's other 6. But when we find, look in the Word of God, God delights in certain things. Uprightness is one of them. One of them is uprightness. And there's others. A contrite heart. God will not turn away one who has a contrite heart. God delights in that. What is acceptable unto God? God desires us to present our bodies as acceptable sacrifice to Him. That we live fully for Him. Do that which is acceptable, pleasing in His sight. Not in ours, not in men's eyes, but in His. So here we read, chapter 12 of Romans. We read, "And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." But it doesn't end there. Verse 2. "And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God said to be not conformed unto this world. Conformed, basically, be molded into, to be changed into, to be like. We're not to be like this world. Let's read 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Here you find 3 things that are in the world. And you know what's interesting too? These 3 things Jesus Himself was tempted in. If you read Matthew chapter 4, and the other Gospels, where you find where Christ was tempted. And you compare and compare this passage with the ones in Gospels, you find that Christ himself was tempted in these three areas. Here it says in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," again we find pride, "is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Here we find God says what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you think you love the Father, if you think you love God, check your life. Search your own heart. What is things that you think about? What is your goals in your life? Is it to please God? Is it to serve Him with all your heart? Do all that you can to bring souls to Christ? Or is it to complete that new hobby? To go places? To be with family? To see that new game? What is it? If you love this world more than God, then you do not love God. That's simple. God said that. You cannot be friends with the world and friends with God. God said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. It's impossible. And also, it's interesting. Because people say, well, I'm not serving mammon, but I'm not serving God. You know what, friend? If you have chosen to serve God, then you're already serving yourself. If you have not chosen to be with God, to serve Him with your whole heart, then you are already serving yourself. You're already serving mammon. There's no in-between. There's no in-between. And the same with God, loving God. If you haven't chosen and you aren't loving God, then you're loving yourself. You're loving the world. It's as simple as that. God said here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What is in the world? What did God say is in the world? The very first thing, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Here I have written down in my own, as on a piece of paper I keep in my Bible. My dad preached on this a long time ago, on this very passage, and I wrote this down as keepsake because he explained what these three things are. The lust of the flesh, what is it? It's anything that pleases, satisfies, and gratifies your own carnal man. That is the lust of the flesh. Anything that pleases us. When we do this, it can be as simple as fishing. If that pleases you, your carnal man, and you do that instead of doing that which God wants you to do, then you have the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. The very second one. The lust of the eyes. Men and women. Because, you know what? When we talk about adultery, what God Christ himself said in Matthew, if a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, then he has already sinned in his heart. You know, that's God was talking about men. But ladies, you're not exempt from that. When you purposely dress so that men look upon you, then you are before God committing adultery. Then you are already causing others to commit adultery with you in their heart. And God, you're included in that. God said, lust of eyes, anything that causes us to look upon something with purpose, consideration, which feeds our carnal appetite and desires. It can be anything. Anything that causes us to look upon something that feeds us, not the spiritual man, but the carnal. The lust of eyes. And then the last, but not least, the pride of man. What is the pride of life? Pride of life is appreciation for or seeking for betterment or attainment, position, rank, honor, title, respect, etc. Things which bring motivation or satisfaction, yet which cannot fill the belly, warm the body, or give rest and comfort to the heart. God said that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God said that these things will pass away forever, one day. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God's truth will stand forever. His word will stand forever. And whoever stands with him will stand forever. Because why? Not because of who we are, because of who God is. And because of his word. Because we are founded upon God's word. So back to Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12. Here God said, and be not conformed unto this world, be not like it, but be ye transformed. Again, this is transformed, means to be changed into something. Once was, but now is something else. There's a movie called Transformers. They change from trucks to robots. Okay, yes, carnal, not really a good example, a spiritual example, but yeah, you kind of get the idea. They were once something, but then changed into something else. God said that we, when we were born into Christ, when we repented and believed in Jesus Christ, and friend, if you haven't yet done that, then you're on your way to a devil's hell right now. And God has given you grace because you're here today. Every day is a day of mercy. Don't think lightly of it. It's a day of grace that we're here. We once, as children of God, were children of darkness, on a way to a devil's hell where God did not make for us. We're on that way because we have chosen that. We chose it. But God made it for Satan and his angels, not for us. But we're going there. We were naturally children of darkness. But God, through Jesus Christ, his blood, his saving blood, by his grace, we are now children of light. So therefore, we were once darkness, but now we have been transformed into light. Now, he who is in Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have passed away. But behold, all things have become new. We have been transformed. But God said, salvation is a one-time thing. I do not preach on you can lose your salvation. I do not believe it. This is not what Christ is talking about. This is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying here being transformed. Because, friend, brothers and sisters, we are saved once. But we still battle with our flesh. It's a daily battle. We still have that, as a good example I heard many years ago, that black dog inside us. We have a white one and a black one. And you know which one will have victory? It's the one you feed. That one will be strong. That one will overcome. As we have in Galatians 5, we're not to live in the flesh. We're to resist it. For the spirit and flesh fight against each other. And we have the list of the lust of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Here Paul said, God said in his word, be not conformed unto the worst of this world. Be not like them, because we are now children of light. As children of God, we are now children of light. We're not of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind each and every day. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's a good example of this truth written in Romans chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And we once were this, but now we are made close. We are made near unto God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is written in Ephesians, the same chapter. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here we have the transformation. Not just the time when we were saved, because that's also when it happened. When we were saved eternally, when we were made children of light. But it's a daily thing to put off the old man, to live in the spirit that now lives in within us. Because when we were dead in sin, our spirit was dead. Our spirit did not live. But when we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and we became saved children of God, God renewed our spirit and it lived. And now we have a battle inside us. Which, praise the Lord, glory to God, one day will be over. One day we'll be like Christ as He is. We'll see Him and be as He is. With no more battle. We'll only have to rest. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But while we are on this earth, we are to battle. Not just in the day, but in the night. Because the war doesn't end at night. The battle is still raging. The raging for what? For the souls of men. That we put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And you have that list in Galatians chapter 5. And Colossians is written there too, the same thing. Many places in the Word of God you see the old conversation, what our old man was. But what is the next thing? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Made new. And that you put on the new man. It's an actual physical action. You must do it. Because if you don't, then you won't win. You won't have victory. You must put off, make the choice daily to put off the old man, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind through the Word of God. That is why it's so important to read the Word of God. Because we are cleansed by it, by the waters of the Word. And we're given that spiritual food that we need to give us strength to battle. This is where we gain our spiritual armor. That we put off the old man and be renewed in spirit of mind and put on the new man. Which is what? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This agrees with what is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That they which are in Christ are a new creature. God makes us new. We are new in Christ. God created us in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, brethren, knowing this, walk in righteousness. Walk in holiness. Because if we don't, then we are acting like the devil. We're acting as our old man, which is like the Satan himself. God does not want us to act this way. But there's hope for us, brethren. There is hope. Because if you do walk this way, if you put on the new man, if you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will find a peace and a strength that is not like our own, that cannot come from any other except from God. And you will what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because God's will is always better than ours. There's that song, "Your will, your plan was better than mine." Basically talking about the story of Joseph. When he did not deserve to go to Egypt, to be thrown into jail. He didn't deserve it. He didn't do anything. But God's will was perfect. If he wasn't put there, then Pharaoh, that prisoner, would have never heard about Joseph. And Pharaoh then would have never heard about Joseph. And then the people, God's people, would have not been saved because there was a famine. They would have all died. And the lineage of Christ would have never come to pass. God's will was always perfect. Even though we don't see, even though we try to see as if through a fog, our Lord sees everything. He sees the way ahead. God's way is always perfect. And what? Good. His way is always good. For all things come together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. As everyone has known, my wife and I have gone through a dark valley and are going through it again this last year. I testify to everyone, and I do not know why, but it's a good sign that ever since I met my wife, Satan has been resisting us, standing against us, doing everything that he can to stop us every single step of the way. I do not know why. And yes, it is hard, but it's a good sign, because that means God has a great plan and Satan is afraid. God's way is always good. His way is always perfect. And if when we live according as God wants us to live, we'll find that way, His will, His good will, His acceptable will, and His perfect will. Let us end with one last verse. Then I want to sing a song for you, only a couple of verses. I'm going to sing it in Russian, so you get a little taste of Russian. I will translate it. And it goes along with this context, basically, the choice to follow Christ, even through the hard times. Let's read last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is going to be our last passage for tonight. You shouldn't amen at that. That was a wrong time to amen. We should never be tired to listen to God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, again we see that word. Looking back to what we've said, therefore, seeing what we've already read, now, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There we find three different actions that the God, people of God are supposed to do, that we, the children of God, are supposed to do. First, come out from among them. Be not conformed to this world. And be ye separate, be transformed. And touch not the unclean thing. Do not that which they do. And I, God is saying this now, I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He reminds us of who He is. He is the Lord God Almighty. You know, when I go through hard times, I remember Jeremiah 33, verse 1 through 3. There Jeremiah was in the prison the second time. Interesting, he was there the second time. And honestly, he was very discouraged, as all of us would be. And God says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. You remind of him. Remind Jeremiah who he was. He said, don't look at the bars. Don't consider where you are. I'm the one who formed it. Everything's in my hands. I'm the Lord God Almighty, the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. I'm the Almighty God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you want to see things that is impossible in our eyes, look to the one who can do all things. Have faith. Faith sees the invisible, does the impossible, receives the incredible. Faith moves the immovable. Faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's written in Hebrews. God is the Almighty God. He desires to have a relationship with us. And if we simply, what? Come out from among them. From who? Here in 2 Corinthians, if we see the compare and contrast, what fellowship has what? Righteousness with darkness, with righteousness with unrighteousness. And what concord communion hath light with darkness? You can't have light and darkness. There's a distinct separation. If we were to turn off all the lights here at one moment, everyone would realize that it was dark. Everyone would recognize that, hold on, we don't have any light in here. There's a distinct difference. Same with the spiritual. There's a bit distinct difference between spiritual and wickedness. If we can come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will, what? Receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have promises, brethren. We have hope. As we desire to give hope to these people who are in addictions, we also have hope. And we desire to give them hope, not from that came from ourselves, that came from God Himself. We have dear and precious promises from God. Praise the Lord. Let me sing this song for you. I'll do it a cappella. Listen, and of course you won't understand it, but then I'll translate it for you. It's basically, the title is, I Will Follow Christ. За Христом пойду я, Боже милосердный, кто мне сил дарует оказаться верным. Страх и бессилие, я тебе молюсь, помоги ты мне по следам Иисуса. I will follow Christ, merciful God, who will give me strength to be faithful. In fear and weakness I pray to you, help me follow in the footsteps of Jesus. За Христом пойду я, бодро и свободно, дух мой укрепляет дар любви Господней. Смело отвергаю века жизни вкуси, с радостью шагаю по следам Иисуса. I will follow Christ cheerfully and freely. The gift of the Lord's love strengthens my spirit. I boldly reject the taste of the old life. With joy, I walk in the footsteps of Jesus. За Христом пойду я, кроны прекрасной, о кругом бушует ураган ужасный. Благодатью Божьей каждый день креплюсь я, Он и ты поможет по следам Иисуса. Благодатью Божьей каждый день креплюсь я, Он и ты поможет по следам Иисуса. I will follow Christ to the beautiful homeland, even though a terrible storm is raging around. By the grace of God, I am strengthened every day. He will help me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Those are only three verses of this song. And it talks about the decision. What? I will follow Christ. As we have that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. That decision to go with Christ wherever he might go. That is truly the Christian's life. When we made the decision to follow Christ in baptism, many don't understand and realize that was the first step in this walk, to follow with Christ wherever he went, to go where he leads, no matter what it costs. Our life is as nothing compared to what he has given us. We are to, as we read in Romans again, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is our reasonable service, brethren. It truly is. It's not a cost. It's not a sacrifice to serve our King. And we have hope that if we put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of mind and be transformed and put on the old new man, God said we'll have his promises. We will have the peace of God. We will know his will, his good will, his perfect will and acceptable will. He will bless us and encourage us and strengthen us. He is coming soon. We do not know the hour or the day. Only God himself knows. Let us hold ourselves for him in life and in death, that we might be able to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."